Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this playoff victory Monday, January 18, 2021. The Chiefs find a way to win 22-17 in the divisional round against the Cleveland Browns. And now the Chiefs advance to the AFC Championship game for the third consecutive year at Arrowhead Stadium to take on the Buffalo Bills. Time for payback. Time for revenge from the AFC Championship loss following the 1993 season in Buffalo, yes, when Joe Montana took the Chiefs to Buffalo after beating Pittsburgh and Houston in the playoffs. But then Joe Montana left with a concussion. Dave Craig unable to bring the Chiefs back, and Buffalo went to their fourth Super Bowl, and that's the last time Buffalo has been in the AFC Championship game, when they beat Kansas City way back when. But payback time, Buffalo. So there you go, 22-17. The Chiefs find a way to win without Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes in the locker room while the Chiefs were battling for their playoff lives, led by quarterback Chad Henne, who came up with, who was a part of two of the most memorable plays in Chiefs playoff history, and they will be that forever. Chad Henne, nobody thought we'd be talking about that on Monday, but here we are. Bottom line is this. Don't forget this before we get into all the details, all right? The Chiefs won. They won in the divisional round. This is a round that was horrific for the Chiefs for a long, long time. This was a round where the Chiefs' dreams went to die so many times. And so again, and that's part of the theme with the Border Patrol, we try to remind you not to take all this for granted, to enjoy this and to celebrate this, because it wasn't always like this, and it's not always going to be like this. Because if you think back to the years of Marty Schottenheimer, when they beat the Raiders in the playoffs after the 91 season and then went to the divisional round, who they lose to, Buffalo. The next year, they were one and done against the Chargers. But then in 93, as I told you, they beat Pittsburgh in overtime. They beat Houston on the road. Then they go to the championship game and lose to Buffalo. There's two losses to Buffalo. We're looking for payback now. Play payback. Let me hear some James Brown. And so, and then, I don't need to remind you, but I will, 95, divisional round, one and done to the Colts. 97, divisional round, one and done to the Broncos. 2003, divisional round, one and done to the Colts. You get me? Even, you know, under Andy Reid for a while, after getting the first playoff when he gets the Houston Texans, divisional round, lose to the Patriots. Then back to the old divisional round, one and done in 2016 against the Steelers. So for a long, long time, this was the roadblock that the Chiefs could not get over as a franchise. And now here they are. They've done it again. They've done it three straight seasons. When all I wanted for most of my life was the Chiefs to win in the divisional round one time or twice. They beat the Colts in the divisional round. Then last year, they took care of the Texans in the divisional round, and they get their third consecutive win in the divisional round. So don't take it for granted. And now it's time for payback against the Buffalo Bills. Thank you. Just an excuse to hear some James Brown, that's all. But it is payback. And so let's establish that. Chiefs win in the divisional round, and that is wonderful. The Chiefs become the first AFC team to host the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row. The only other team to do it, the Philadelphia Eagles, their head coach was Andy Reid. So he's done this twice now, which is unbelievable. And so let's get back to an argument that took place several times down the stretch of the regular season. I have been accused of being a dummy and being stupid. That was in high school, but I didn't try. And so what if I was ranked number 79 out of 83 students at St. Pius my senior year? How you like me now? Anywho, Phil beat me, by the way, in that ranking. Not a huge accomplishment, but still number one in the family. Maybe I'm a dummy, but when people would ask, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Is it a positive or a negative? Is it a strength or a weakness that the Chiefs keep winning close games? And I'm like, you know, they're winning. And the fact that they find different ways to win close games, how do you look at that as a negative? I mean, you could be angry. Well, I want them to win by 2 touchdowns. Yeah, well, so do I. Yeah, you know, I wanted them to win by 28 points yesterday. I wanted to be right. I wanted them to win by 14 points, 38-24, so my prediction could be right. They didn't. They still won. It's the playoffs. And the team was prepared to be involved in a close game where they had to make things happen late in the fourth quarter, where they had to find a way to win without their leader, without their MVP, without their captain, without their everything, Patrick Mahomes. And I believe that the experience of having all those close games and finding different ways to win, whether it's with your offense or whether it's with your defense, whatever, finding so many different ways to win close games helped this football team yesterday at Arrowhead Stadium. How could it not? This wasn't a team that's just blown everyone out, and then all of a sudden, oh, we don't have Mahomes, we're in a close game, let's drop trow and just take a crap on the field right now. We don't know what to do. They did know what to do. You know why? Because they've been in a bunch of close games, and they won them all. And that experience is valuable. Because guess what? You're not going to blow out everyone in the playoffs. You're not. That's not what the NFL is. Now, they ended up having 2 comfortable wins last year in the divisional round and in the championship game, although they did have to come back. Remember, they were down 24 to the Texans and 10 to the Titans. But then what happened in the Super Bowl? They were down in the fourth quarter. It was a close game. They had to find a way to win. The offense and the defense had to come together and get that win. And so this is a team that has gone through these experiences. This is a team that has gone through the experiences of having close games, of having to make a huge play on offense or defense, get a stop, run the clock out, whatever, drive down and absolutely rip the hearts out of the Raiders and end their season, essentially. Yeah, I haven't forgot that. Point is, this is what this team was ready for, and they did it without Mahomes. And Andy Reid showed the rest of these coaches that are trying to be him that didn't show any balls in the postseason. Mike Vrabel's on the record saying he would cut his wiener off to go to the Super Bowl. Right? He said that.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't go for it on fourth and short. He'd rather punt. He's so bold. All these questionable punts. Like, what are you doing? Why are you punting? Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, why are you punting? You're down in the fourth quarter. Why are you punting? Because a lot of coaches that want to walk the walk and talk the talk in the regular season, when it comes to the postseason, oh, there's some shriveling, there's some shrinkage, it's cold outside, it's the playoffs. That's been a huge talking point in the postseason, right? What's going on with all these surrender punts? And don't tell me every other coach would have gone for it in that situation. No. Oh, I bet a bunch of coaches looking back 2020 now, oh, yeah, I would have gone for it too with Henny. No, you wouldn't have. Mike Vrabel and Mike Tomlin apparently would have got out there and punted the ball themselves. They wouldn't even left it to the punter. They would have punted. And in that situation, after Chad Henne miraculously runs for 13 yards or four, and almost picks up the first down, in that situation, with the whole season on the line, fourth and short, at midfield, nursing a one-score lead, the entire season on the line, Big Red could have punted. And a whole bunch of NFL people, that's right, there you go. Rely on your defense. Don't put it on your backup quarterback. That's right. Punt and play some defense. A whole bunch of coaches would have signed up for that. Not Big Red. And I don't want to hear it. People complain about Big Red gets too conservative. That man on fourth down with Chad Henne as his quarterback put his team out there and pretended that all they were going to do was try to draw the Cleveland Browns offsides, right? We've seen that. How many times have we seen that in the playoffs? And sometimes it works, and you wonder, if you're a defensive player, what are you doing? They're not going to snap the ball. Don't move. Do not move. They're not going to snap the ball. Don't do anything. Don't flinch. Don't blink. Don't breathe. They're going to run the clock down, then they're going to call a timeout, then they're either going to punt or they're going to come out with their real play. But don't do nothing right now. They're trying to get a freebie. They're trying to get the 5 yards for the penalty. They're not going to snap the ball. My God, they snapped the ball. They just snapped the ball. The shotgun. They threw it to Tyreek Hill for a first down. Game over. What did Big Red just do? Oh, my God. I almost passed out.
When you come, baby, you come.
I didn't know what I was watching. You think I'm kidding? I looked like Patrick Mahomes. I tried to sit up from my chair. I was wobbly after that happened. First down, Chiefs win. What?
When you come, baby, you come.
I'm talking to Phil watching the play. I'm like, oh, they're not. Okay, that's good. They're not going to snap the ball. Try to get them all set. Whatever. Yeah, they snap the ball. No. First down, Chiefs win. I'm still exhausted after watching that game. Look, I don't know what to tell you people, but this is... Man, oh man, it's something else to be a Chiefs fan. And so, before we get into everything else and, you know, pray for Patrick Mahomes, as I've been doing for all night and all morning, to be honest. Man, oh man, can you believe they did that? Just, you know, hey, and guess what? If he'd have punted and Cleveland would have drove down and scored, we'd have gone nuts, and that's all we'd have been talking about and complaining, and why didn't you go for it? Why didn't you have the balls it took to win that game? And he did. So give him credit. Put some respect on that man's name, Andy Reid. And you know what? Chad Henne, after throwing one of the worst interceptions these eyes have ever seen, to come back with a couple of plays like that, to pick up a couple of first downs and get this team into the next round, well done. That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
With that, time's yours.
It's a Babe reference, if anyone's paying attention. You guys all right? I'm sorry. I lost it here in this first segment. A lot of emotion to get off my chest. That's been bottled up.
Heck yeah.
Let me catch my breath here. Jake, you good? I'm sorry. You all right, Jake?
I'm great. I'm good. Great day, woo. 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 Woo.
Let's take a break. Let me compose myself, then we'll get the thoughts
Exhale.
Of Nate Buchady and Jake Gutierrez. They didn't think the Chiefs were going to snap the ball, and they snapped it.
Romo, that fooled Romo.
Romo didn't know what was going on.
No, see, look, they're not running a play.
Not going to snap this. They're not even running a play.
Romo was like, uh-oh.
Got him.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, that's right. I wish they would have showed Welvin on the broadcast. Got him. Ha, got him. That's exactly what Big Red did. Got him.
Got him. Got him.
First down. Got him. Got him.
Got him.
Let's replace these nuts with first down. Got him. And back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Yeah, definitely felt a lot more comfortable out there playing the last game of the season against the Chargers. Full week of preparation, feeling the pockets, especially as a quarterback, is very important, especially if you haven't been there in a while. But felt confident. I mean, there's a lot of playmakers out there, and just great opportunity for me to get out there and see some guys make some plays.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That was Chad Henne, who stepped in and helped win the game yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, one more thing I wanted to say, and we're going to talk about this game, obviously, for four straight hours. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. Okay? Nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters to me. Well, my family matters. I love them. But no school, so no one will be up for hours here. Patrick Mahomes. The toe had me worried already. And I was not a fan of, and I get it, the same play got him a touchdown early, but that's when before his toe was injured. I did not like them running that play, that option, with his toe the way it was. I did not agree with that. That's not why he got hurt, but I just like, why are you doing that? And I just think it's so odd that because of a freak injury on a quarterback sneak, now we can never utilize a quarterback sneak when there's a lot of times a quarterback sneak would be the right call. But go ahead and run the option with him with a bad toe. So now that he was hurt running the option, so now they're going to take that out of the playbook? No. So don't take the quarterback sneak out of the playbook. Go ahead and crush me for saying that. But, I mean, what are we doing here? Are they going to eliminate that play now that he got hurt on?
I don't think
is that out of the playbook?
Well, it's in the playoffs. When you're in the playoffs, the playbook's open, as far as I'm concerned, including the quarterback sneak.
Okay, that's all. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can't remove every play that he gets hurt on. And I know that was a terrible injury and everything else and whatever. But I mean, you'll run the option with him with a bad wheel. So if it comes up to fourth and inches, I'm okay with the quarterback sneak. Just want to get that off my chest. And something else, like Jim Nance immediately, if that's not a concussion, I don't know what a concussion is. Well, Jim, maybe you don't know what a concussion is. Maybe you don't. Did Jim Nance go and was he able to examine Patrick Mahomes before he made that comment? I mean, I don't know, because I'm going to tell you what I thought it was, and after watching it a couple of times, and look, I'm not a doctor. I don't, I just play one on the radio. But when they kept showing the play over and over again, and how the defender was kind of rolling with him with the kind of a grip on his neck and awkward. I don't know how the hell to describe it. But you know what I thought, what I kept thinking right when I saw that? Like, that's like a gator roll or an anaconda choke.
You got choked out.
You see in MMA. Mm-hmm. But no, specifically like a gator roll or an anaconda choke. I don't know if either one of you guys know what that is, or Google or look it on YouTube. And it was, obviously it's not perfect. It wasn't mixed martial arts. But you see something like that, and you could see a guy get choked out. And then I was, I just started following Jason Anderson on Twitter. Did you guys know he was on Twitter?
Huh.
Okay. Jason Anderson.
Who? Right. Sounds like a common name. I don't. There's probably a lot of Jason Andersons out there.
And so I'm the whole time, and I'm telling, you know, I'm watching the game with my family. I go, it's like the guy was trying to choke him out. What is it? There's got to be something, some kind of penalty. I don't know what it was. Remember in the movie, with Will Ferrell, basketball team. Come on,
the ABA Tropic Thunder.
All Stars. The name of the team. It's not the name of it.
What?
Anyway, you remember when they have the first dunk they've ever seen, and the ref just calls it, you know, I don't know what it was, you know, technical foul. He's called because he didn't know what to, you know what I mean? And that's like
semi-pro.
That's gotta be a penalty.
Semi-pro. Dang it.
That's a penalty, right? That's something. Throw a flag. I don't know what it is. They did something to him. Look at him. And there was no it really didn't look like there was contact to the head. Now I did watch somebody, you know, there's a lot of doctors that try to analyze injuries, and they kept replaying this over and over again. You know, right before his head would have hit the ground, there was like a whiplash motion that could have caused concussion. But I kept thinking, man, it's almost like he got choked out for a minute. I mean, I don't know. It was so bizarre. And then I saw Jason Anderson tweet out a comment from Jay Glazer, who's an insider who has, you know, sources everywhere, said, the thought is he will be okay to play. This is what Jay Glazer said last night, according to Jason Anderson. The thought is he will be okay to play. It was almost like he got choked out. Not so much concussion, but still has to go through protocol. He was trying to get himself back in the game. There's a lot of confidence he'll be ready to go next week. And I saw that. And I said, well, maybe I'm not, because I kept thinking, well, that's stupid. But maybe that was something like that happened. I don't know. It was such a freak deal. Maybe that was it. He lost. I just hope he's okay. I don't know. You guys, your thoughts on that? I mean, I don't.
So, I was watching it at home, and my wife said the exact same thing. She said, look, if you get your neck wrenched the right way, or somebody compresses it, you know, your carotid artery can cut off the blood to your brain for a second. And
did she think it was a gator roll or anaconda choke?
She did not mention either of those things. And then a buddy of mine who's a doctor said the same thing. He's like, look, there, you couldn't really see a hit to the head there. Here's what he said to me. He said, it looked like the defender's forearm compressed his neck carotid artery. I wonder if it caused him to have a near fainting spell. Same, that basically what you're talking about. And what Kelly pointed out to me is when he got up, it was one side of his, like his one, he was able to put his right foot down on the ground, but then it was his left leg that he couldn't pick up to get on the ground. And she said, when you have a motion like that, sometimes it's like it cuts off the blood supply to like half your brain, you know, and so half your body, you have a tough time controlling for a few seconds until the blood flow comes back. And who knows? I mean, that's all amateur stuff. We're all watching it from the outside. Nobody. But the point is, what you saw, what Jay Glazer saw, a buddy of mine who's a doctor saw it, my wife is a physical therapist saw it. It was clear his neck wrenched. He didn't really, there wasn't like an impact on his head. What does that mean for going forward? I don't know, but he was tweeting after the game. You know,
yeah, right, he was.
I mean, so.
Now you stop right there. Stop right there. How much do you love this radio show and this radio station?
With all my heart.
Jake, do you believe him?
About 85%. I believe him about 85%.
Okay, right now,
the 15%
do you believe,
is just me being a. I love Patrick Mahomes, so 15 is my favorite now.
Do you believe in Nate's heart that he will do anything for this show, if it makes the show better? It makes the radio station
no,
better.
No, I don't.
You believe he'll do that?
No.
Wow.
I don't.
Whoa. I
now,
do.
I'm getting incredibly nervous because I'm wondering what Steven's about to ask me to do.
No. We
I would say no.
Have access to James Krause.
Uh-oh. Yep.
Megan Anderson, whoever, Zach Cummings.
You want him to choke me out, damn it.
No, we'll do a very recreation in studio. As much as possible, a recreation, and we will see if you lose consciousness. And we'll do a very similar, as much as we can, we'll recreate what happened, and we'll see if that's what it is.
I mean, it will seems it? Dangerous, but yeah,
it does
I'll do
not.
It.
It's not. Not in the hands of James Krause.
It's not.
Okay, how about this?
I mean, having
Jake,
someone choke me till I lose consciousness, it seems dangerous.
Well, you don't have to lose consciousness. I mean, he wasn't completely unconscious. He was just struggling
Nate,
for, you know.
Watch how quick this yes is. Okay. Hey Jake, what if we have Megan Anderson come in and give you the inside
job? Okay. For the good of the show.
All right. On camera, you see
how selfless of you.
See, that's the attitude that I'm looking for. Right. That's my Chad Henne who'll come in
and do anything
to help this team win.
Anything.
Help it win, baby. We want that. This is teamwork.
All right. Right. Let's do it.
Makes the dream work.
That's right.
That's right. Kansas City will make that happen for you. Back after this on WHB.
Yeah, no, we didn't alter it. I just looked at EB and asked him, you ready to roll? And he goes, absolutely. Mike Kafka, you ready to roll? Let's go. Joe upstairs. Joe was talking about it before we ever got there. And so there was a chance that we didn't think it'd be with Chad running. But, you know, there's a chance where short yardage coach, you got to make a decision. And so, but there was no doubt with anybody. I mean, for Joe to think that, for Mike and EB to say what they said, to have a play, right, to have a play ready to go that everybody liked. There was no flinch on the play. It was, this is what it is. Here we go. Chad knew it. We all knew it. Let's go.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. And let me tell you, Chad Henne is the toast of the town now. But, and I'll admit it, after it was first and 25 at the Cleveland 38, and a field goal was so important because that would have given the Chiefs an 8-point lead, and the best the Browns could have done was tie with the 2-point conversion if they would have kicked a field goal. But I guess nothing is for sure when it comes to field goals and extra points. That's another story that we will tackle, see, football lingo, at some point. But when Chad Henne threw that interception, I was furious along with everyone else. And then I was openly questioning. And look, hey, we get crazy, right, during games and things don't go well, and it didn't feel good at that point. It didn't feel good, did it?
No.
Did it feel good to you?
Nope.
Uh-uh. Jake, were you feeling good after you threw that pick? No.
Negative.
Didn't feel good?
I did not. I felt horrible. I felt like, oh, blank. Oh,
what do you think?
Blank.
What do you think I was loudly questioning at that point right there?
The 4 points that were sitting on the board?
Nope. Why isn't Matt Moore the backup quarterback? Now, why are they so in love with Chad Henne? Why isn't Matt Moore the quarterback? He came in and won games.
When that throw was made, Riley turned to me and said, who's the third-string quarterback now? That's a fair question.
I was getting screamed at by my children because when Mahomes went down, my son was immediately, well, there it goes. There goes the season. It's all over. And I think I said this as much just to try to make him, you know, to reinsert some positivity in the house. I said, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen. Chad Henne's going to make a couple of plays to help the Chiefs hold on and win this game. And then when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, he's going to get to hold on to that Super Bowl ring and say, I earned this because I helped him get through the playoffs. And I don't know that I believed that, but that's what I was telling him. And then right after I said that, he threw that interception. And my kids were just
Dad?
Huh?
Say something.
Yeah, I thought he was going to make a play.
What did you do for Larry?
That rattled my foundation. I was questioning everything. What the? Matt Moore, why are you throwing that football? And so then, look, I didn't feel great after the interception about the Chiefs getting a stop. I'm thinking, oh boy, the Browns are going to drive down and score a touchdown, and then we're going to see Chad Henne with the ball having to drive the team to get the game-winning score. And so credit the defense for getting that stop. And so I don't know if you guys saw this article from Dan Wetzel, who's an excellent writer, and he wrote about the two fourth down dilemmas. One that was aggressive and the other that wasn't. And I never really thought about this at the time when they did it. Well, I kind of did. But do you think that Stefanski should have considered going for it on 4th and 9 at the Cleveland 32? Now, in retrospect, they never got the ball back. When they punted, the game was punted away. But for me, if it's Mahomes, I'm really actually strongly considering going for it on 4th and 9 because I'm thinking I'm probably not getting the ball back. But it's Henny, and he had just thrown a god-awful interception, and so that plays into it. But then, as Dan Wetzel was pointing out, you could also look at it, well, if you don't get it, worst thing could happen is the Chiefs take over there. They're not going to move with Henny, and they'll attempt a field goal that would make it an 8-point lead, and he'd still be in the game. I didn't really think about it at the time. Do you think that was a legitimate option for him to try to go for it on 4th and 9, or did he make the right decision in punting even though they never got the ball back?
I think it's a legitimate option, but I thought with Chad Henne at quarterback, you punt the ball. But I also thought I couldn't believe the Chiefs threw it on 2nd down when Henne had it and took the sack, and I couldn't believe they went for it because with Chad Henne at quarterback, I thought the defense had just gotten a stop. Henne had just thrown a pick the last time out. So no, I didn't really think twice about it when it was 3rd and the distance that it was 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. I didn't really second guess it at all at the time. I was like, well, with Chad Henne at quarterback, you kick it away. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I did not question it either. That's a tough move. I mean,
read Dan Wetzel's article. I thought it was interesting. Yeah. He even brought that up, but he makes it. You know,
Certainly. I mean, you can make a strong case for it.
If there's anything I'm questioning that Stefanski did, was that challenging that Tyreek Hill. I mean, yeah, he threw that flag so quick that I don't even think he gave his team enough time to look at it. And one of his coaches might have been like, "Yeah, don't challenge that." Because that timeout, at not having another timeout at the end, killed him.
But also,
well, it didn't kill him, but it handcuffed him. So, it would have been really ballsy. But I see, if it's Mahomes on the other side, I think I would consider it a whole lot more, honestly. Like, if it was anybody but Chad Henning, you know, you think that, okay, we can stop them. They're going to just want to get the clock going. You know, I think that I make more concession to that decision because I understand the thinking. It's Chad Henning.
How about the timeout that Cleveland wasted, their 2nd timeout with 5:17 left?
Yeah.
When they were... when they had the ball down 22-17 before they had to punt, they kind of just wasted a timeout there, didn't they?
Bad management on 4th quarter in terms of their timeouts and how they handle the clock.
Mm. Chiefs win in the divisional round over the Cleveland Browns 22-17. Jake, tell people right now who's coming up on the show before we break.
Today on the show, right at the top of the hour, Super DJ Derek Johnson.
Oh.
Chiefs linebacker, stud. He was in town. He was at the game yesterday. Adam Teicher at 7:30. Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star. He'll be with us whenever Gary Lezak feels like turning over the show to him. At 8 something. And then at 9:05, Todd Lebo will be in studio to go over his thoughts on the Chiefs' big divisional playoff victory over the Cleveland Browns.
That's right. Chiefs win at 22-17 over the Browns. Back after this on WHB.
Yeah, so for your first question, and talk to Patrick after the locker room. He's in good spirits. Obviously, we'll see with everything, you know, all the testing for him tomorrow, but he's in good spirits.
That was Chad Henne talking about Patrick Mahomes. Nate, I don't know. I had to get a lot of things off my chest early on. I will offer my 2 minutes here to Nate Bucati, the gentleman from Overland Park.
Gentleman yields his time to Mr. Gutierrez. No.
Oh, all right, Jake, let's hear it.
Oh, well.
I yield.
The doctor.
I yield.
When have I ever yielded my time? This team continues to be the most entertaining sports product I've ever watched in my life. We are so fortunate to get to watch this team. And it starts with Patrick Mahomes, but it clearly doesn't end with Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones on the defensive series where the Chiefs forced the punt right before that. That was him earning his paycheck right there. He was incredible on that drive that forced the Browns into that 3rd and long situation where they ended up punting the ball back to the Chiefs. But the play itself, one of the, to use your term, Stephen, one of the ballsiest calls I've ever seen.
Right.
And I don't care if the analytics crowd says that his team's percentage chance of going up, you know, or of winning the game went up by just deciding to go for it. That's fine. Your backup quarterback, who played for the first time in 6 years the week before, who just threw a horrific interception, as you described earlier, on the series right before that. It's 3rd and 14. I thought they just should run the ball twice and just run the clock as much as possible and hope that Baker Mayfield can't execute a touchdown drive against your defense. And thank goodness I'm not the one calling it. For the vast majority of our lives, you listed off all of the times the Chiefs failed in this round of the playoffs. They were crushed by a fear of losing. And I hear all the time when competitors talk about how they hate losing more than they love winning, and I don't understand why somehow that makes you more competitive. I prefer the guy who is obsessed with winning, not obsessed with losing, who's thinking about winning the game and trusting his guys to go win the game. And how prepared that Chiefs team was for their backup quarterback to execute that play and the way they sold it and acted like they weren't going to play was incredible.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Well, Chapman, buddy, you have a guy that's just obsessed with losing. He does not like...
Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. Super DJ Derek Johnson. He was banging the drum yesterday. He's on the show next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.